traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Yeah.
Would it make you uncomfortable to take those shades off? And why? And why? Because this parlays into the accident that you mentioned earlier. So why don't you give them some...
Okay, here. Look. Look.
We normally talk about things and then bring our guests on, but you're already here, so I'll just do it while
Let's
you're
do the
here.
Whole thing together.
Okay. Our guest today is an internet persona known for his good looks and skills with scissors. Many of your favorite celebs have trusted him to cut their hair, which has been on full display on his YouTube series, Jeff's Barbershop. Some of you may know him as a member of the Vlog Squad. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jeff Witek.
Yes. Been waiting for this one.
Thank you. Thank you. Witek? Pleasure to be here.
Witek?
You know what? After hearing you say it, I don't even know anymore. It sounds better when you say it. And I listened to the clip with you and Casey. Thank you for that. That was very nice words from you guys.
Yeah,
you
know. Casey's a big fan.
Yeah.
He likes the show a lot.
Yeah, and you guys, you know, I mean, I respect you guys a lot over here with everything you're doing.
Do you honestly?
I mean, honestly.
Do you, Jeff?
Like half the times I watch clips from here, you're talking about me, and then the other ones you're praising me.
That's so many times.
I've never talked about you.
Well, there was only one time that you guys were like, oh yeah, his dope. And then the one time was like, fuck you, Jeff. I'm going to beat the shit out of you when I see you.
Was it because of the party? Podcast?
Oh, maybe.
Is that what it was?
Dude, I made eye contact with the camera on that clip. I didn't say the one thing that I always say. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. My energy's a little low today. Mike's fired up.
Yeah.
More George is George. We got Jeff here, as you already know.
Pleasure to be here.
So yeah, man, I don't know what happened. I think that we had that little what do you want to call it?
Misunderstanding.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
100% misunderstanding. I mean, I wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't, you know, I'm intimidated. Took a sip of the water, man. I just rolled off a hospital bed. I'm not trying to roll around right now. You know, no, that was a complete misunderstanding, and we talked it out. We addressed it offline, you know, man to man.
Yeah, which is the best way to do that kind of thing. And
yeah.
I thought it was surprisingly like refreshing to just talk about something not on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And squash the beef or whatever it was without having to make videos about it. It was weird. I remember being like, oh, Jeff is like an actual human.
We did some FaceTimes. For context, if people are watching this and don't know what we're talking about, there were some comments made during Logan's luau. David and Jeff as well made their way to the podcast set during the party and made some unflattering comments that we also joke around about sometimes. So it wasn't a huge deal, but
I got a little too comfortable too quick. And I made a joke that was, you know, Logan doesn't like joking about that stuff.
Why don't you just say it? Why don't you say it now that I'm here?
First of all, that joke David made. I mean, fucking throw David right under the bus. but me, I was making a joke about myself. I used to do these Motivation Monday things where it was like very self-deprecating humor. And I was like, I apologize for everything I've done. I envisioned myself in the future being here apologizing for something, you know? So that's what I was doing kind of. And I think you took it as, oh, they came on and made a vlog bit and they fucking roasted me. And now I'm going to be the butt of a joke in a vlog. And then you came on the next day and put out like Jeff Witek, the way you pronounce my name the right way. And you were like, yo, what's up? You want to come here and spar? Like, you want to fucking
really?
Like, straight up. Yeah.
It was a hit piece.
And you were like, David, you too, you little rat. You want to fucking, I mean, maybe
that.
I didn't say that.
You didn't say you little weasel. You little fucking pussy. You want to talk shit on my set? And yeah. And then right when I saw that, I was like, oh shit, let me FaceTime this guy. Because first of all, it was a misunderstanding. We didn't come on and make you the butt of the joke. Although I probably have said things in the past because I have a very dark sense of humor.
We know.
We want to get into that, by the way, because this isn't the first time you've had to apologize for a joke or made someone uncomfortable. I did your barbershop show recently semi-recently. And
I'm a different person there, though. Today, I'm me. Today, look, let me look right at the camera and let you guys know that a lot of the things I say here today, maybe 25% of them will be lies, and it's up to you to decide. to decipher what is truthful and what is not. George, I don't know if you'll be able to tell anything.
I just feel like you're going to hand me a pill and ask me to take a blue one or a red one. I feel like we're about to join possibility. The Matrix.
Those glasses, man, are so reflective.
Should we get into this?
Are they intimidating?
Do you want it?
No, they're not. They're intimidating because I could see myself.
Okay.
Do you want to keep them on?
I could remove them, but I prefer to
That's fine.
Keep them on because I'm hiding a lot of secrets inside of me right now. And you guys demanded that we film this today. April 1st, is this when we're releasing this?
That's on you.
This is live right now. This is April 6th.
This is a live episode, our first ever live episode.
We shot this on March 12th. So we're stacking up because I'm going to training camp.
Okay.
And we can release it whenever you please. Because I think we're going to time it with your documentary, which is coming out probably like now-ish.
What is it about?
Now, well, so I have a documentary. I went through a near-death accident. I was... Now, see, the story kind of changed on the entire doc. Initially, it was just about the accident, and then it's now changed to a life story. It's more of like a documentary on like everything. So I just got back from New York. I filmed with my parents. I filmed in my old barbershop, my old friends I grew up with and stuff like that. And it kind of explains everything, how I got to this point and how I got so reckless and the reckless things I've done in the past. And the horrible things that have happened to me in my youth, you know, I've gotten arrested several times. It's, you know, public information. You can look it up.
In jail.
Yeah, yeah. And I took those the worst times of my life, and now that's a big part of my career. You know, it's a big part of my brand, and I use it to kind of help people, I guess, like other people who've gone through those situations. So I realized, like, if I'm going to make this documentary, if I'm going to put this story out, I'm going to do it for that reason. Like, if other people are going through this shit, if other people smashed up their face in an accident where maybe their parents were driving the car and it's not even their fault, you know, just people go through shit. And, you know, even rich, famous celebrities like myself, too. I'm just kidding. I'm not rich. I lost all my money on the stock market. I'm a horrible day trader.
Stop.
Yeah. I put all my fucking money in AMC and it bombed.
Yeah, yeah.
I bought it at 16.
Wow. Yeah, I lost a hefty amount of money on this.
I lost $50,000.
Stop day trading, dude.
Yeah, I'm done.
It's tough.
I need to get back to making videos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely, you do.
Yeah.
So it's a real piece. It's a real documentary with a real theme tied to it. What's the climax? Does it have anything to do with the accident that you referenced? Or is that the
accident
pinnacle?
Is a big part of it. The story is, it starts off, it gives a little backstory on me. And when I was younger, my parents, people I grew up with, and then I obviously get into drug deal and jail time. It's kind of like your book, Mike, like where you just spill it all. Yep. And I'm the type of guy to keep, you know, a character on a lot of the times. So this is very new for me. That's why I'm taking my time with it. That's why I've been postponing 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks every time you guys ask me to come on.
Yeah, we've been trying for a long time.
Yeah, we've been trying. And it's not that like I didn't want to come on or there's some cult thing with David that's going on where I'm not allowed to speak to other people or, you know, because I know like, you know, those rumors have been spreading around. I've been dying to come on this thing. I've been dying to join you guys' crew.
Hell yeah, bro, you're welcome. Yeah,
you're a free,
you want,
free agent right now.
You guys are.
Are you a free agent?
Right?
You're down to fucking jump people and fight.
100%.
And I mean, something pops off.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, we get way
Jeff,
nutty, man.
I got to ask you this question, man. Casey came on the show and I said, we talked about him earlier. He wore shades the whole time. It makes my job difficult. It really does, dude.
Is it intimidating?
It's not intimidating. I don't get intimidated by much. Just makes my job a little bit difficult. Is there any chance, and we've gone through this on my vlogs, because you've been on my vlogs, you've tried to wear shades.
Yeah.
Would it make you uncomfortable to take those shades off? And why? Because this parlays into the accident that you mentioned earlier.
Okay.
So why don't you give them some...
Okay, here, look. I'll look. Actually...
Okay.
You know
wait. You look like Jeff.
You look great. There's literally nothing there.
You look like yourself.
But there may or may not be an eye issue under there.
And Are you protecting yourself from light?
I can't reveal too much yet because I don't know what day I'm going to be finished with this and put it out.
Where is it being released? Is it on YouTube?
On my channel. Yeah.
Oh, on your channel. Okay. Okay.
Oh, great. I mean, we're all over the place, but great Pokemon video, by the way. I don't want to come in here and just talk about the negative stuff that has gone on in our past between you and I, because I respect you a lot. You've grown a lot as a
man.
He's
like, I really liked your Pokemon video.
Yeah, you've grown a lot as a man and you're working hard and I appreciate your work ethic and that Pokemon video is fucking incredible.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. There's something really interesting here under those glasses. I'm sensing some pain, some trauma.
Well, yeah, I nearly died. I came an inch from death, and I came an inch from losing my eye.
Which do you mind elaborating?
I don't want to. I mean, I brought a clip to show you guys.
Oh, could you want to send it to me?
So I can, yeah. Let's do the clip. That's why I'm late, actually,
to show us or to show everyone watching.
To show you everyone,
the world.
Is this an exclusive?
It's an exclusive. It's like when you go on Jimmy Fallon and you fucking play a piece of the movie.
This is a big deal.
Yeah. I didn't know this. This is great.
All right, so this is an Impulsive exclusive clip from your documentary. Mm-hmm. We're about to see here.
So, right. I mean, I'll give you a little backstory. So this is when my retina detached. Oof. And I was like, I didn't know if I was going to be able to keep my eye or not. And this is the first time I noticed that. I just had a surgery and I just had my eye opened up and... I had a FaceTime with the doctor because my doctor's in Utah. So this was me realizing that like shit was not good.
Do you mind if I have it?
I never thought I'd be crying on the internet.
Damn.
That is that's a dark piece. Mm-hmm. Like just, is that the vibe of the whole doc? Like
No. I would never make something that sad the whole time, but that's one of the lowest points. But I just wanted to show you where it goes because, yeah, I mean like when you, I'll tell you a little about the moment that was going through my head right there. So like, you know, all of us, we're entertainers and comedians at that. And I just thought it was all over. You know, like they do surveys on people that are in accidents, like traumatic accidents. And they ask them if they were woken up from a horrible accident, would you rather be dead or blind? And most people choose just dead. Like they don't want to be blind. So for me to face like, this shit is going to happen to me now. And I have another eye, you know, I'm good. I'll be all right. I can still see. So that's good. But having like a glass eye or like a disability, it goes against everything with my asshole persona and my whole comedy style that I've acquired over my entire life. And it was just like, fuck, I can't do shit now. I'm not going to come back to YouTube. I'm not going to ever make videos again sorry. That's why the fucking headphones. Here, you take them. Okay. Yeah, I was like, I'm done. This is it. At that moment, I had quit everything in my head, like my life. I was either gonna be a one-eyed drug dealer again. I mean, not one-eyed, but just everything I had planned for in my life had changed at that moment.
That's so wild. It sucks to see someone who's so lively and funny and. Full of life.
Well, I'm back now, and this is my first time. I actually want to include some of this in the doc.
Sure.
If that's cool, if you guys could give me some of it, because
of course.
This is my first time coming back, and like I've accepted this. I learned that it's moments like this that make you who you are. I know it sounds cheesy, but like sometimes opportunities can sometimes disguise themselves as something horrible.
Absolutely.
So like the best opportunities in life usually... Like, for instance, jail, when I got arrested, I was facing life. I thought I was done. I thought that was my life right there. But now that moment is what made everybody like relate to me when David put out my mugshot and all that stuff. So whatever it is with this shit, I'll find a way to make this cool. You know, like I have fucking one eye, no eye. The show goes on.
They say there are two different drivers of like. Or catalyst for change or movement or momentum in this life. One is inspiration and one is desperation. And some people are inspired by love and inspired by, you know, these fanciful events that pop up in their lives. Do you consider yourself to be somebody that's driven when your back is against the fucking wall and you have no other choice?
Yeah, a little of both. Yeah, yeah. But definitely like I've hit rock bottom over and over and over again. And I've had so many life lessons, even fucking like last.
Traffic jams. Tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse?
the federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Week losing all my money on AMC. Like, it's just another... I'm texting with David and he's like, it's just another lesson, I guess, you know, not to mess around in the stock market. I'm like, I don't need any more fucking life lessons, but I think I'm good. I think I'm good on the lessons.
No one is ever good on the lessons.
There's always more to learn.
There's always ways to improve. I welcome any lesson in my life. And it obviously sucks when they have to come from your lowest lows like that. Can I ask, and I don't know if you're willing to talk about this, but actually what happened or a synopsis? That's the one part I'm failing to understand is we keep saying the accident, but did you hit your head on something? And when you say an inch from death,
yeah,
was it like a temple eye?
So I don't want to get too into detail because obviously this will come out before the doc is out.
Okay.
You know, like I think I'll have like a trailer out by the time this episode comes out. So, yeah, it was just like I smashed my face off a steel structure and steel like does not give at all. Yeah. So like I shattered my head and skull and face in 9 places. So I have a whole bunch of metal plates in here now. But yeah, like I broke my hip. Like I was all messed. I was all banged up. But okay, he's saying tell him about your eye socket.
He also said your eye's touching your brain.
My eye's not touching my brain. You have an optic nerve, and it's very tricky. If something happens to that optic nerve, that's what connects your eye to your brain. If something happens to that, then you don't ever get your vision back. It's not like you plug it in and out and like do like surgery, like heart surgeries where they like reattach shit. Like once that's cut, it's done.
Yeah, I've cringed like so many times.
Bro, I'm sorry to start it off like this. No. I was never like an eye guy. Fucking eyes. You know, even when kids in high school would flip their eyelids out, I'd be like, get out of here. Yeah. I don't see that. But yeah, shit happens in life and you have to fucking deal with it. We started off dark here.
No, it's only up from here. But wait, I want to know. So your eye is not touching your brain? Or
No. My eyes work. My eye works. My eye works.
And that's set in stone?
I have more surgeries coming up, but I just got to deal with them. And it's risky, but, you know, I've gambled my whole life. And the odds are
even
pretty
on
good.
Even on AMC.
Even on AMC. Hopefully it's not that bad.
I talked to you right after that surgery, right? Probably just after that scene was filmed.
Mm-hmm.
And during the surgery, the retina... Can I talk about this? Had become detached from, almost detached from the rest of the eye.
After that surgery, I thought I was going to be all good. And I even skydived in between. Like,
why not, right? Fuck it.
I mean, I was like, I saw you got your license. You're certified. You jump by yourself.
Yep.
So I was doing that and I was going to text you about that. But then like right after I got in the accident. But so after the accident, I didn't want to let this turned me into a pussy, like, you know, because sometimes like, you know, something happens, like if you're a fighter and you get like knocked out, like then like you're hesitant to fight. Yep. However, so I immediately, like as soon as the doctor cleared me, I went back to skydiving. I was like, fuck it, I gotta jump out of a plane and just face my fears again and not let this shit set me back too much. And I did that, and then like that didn't have anything to do with the like the retina getting detached. So since I broke my eye socket, I had a full orbital blowout. It's a common injury in like fighting.
Yep.
You get rocked, like your orbital breaks.
Yep.
But I had like a full, like, so the whole back of my eye socket shattered and they had to like put it all back together. So like going behind the eye to do surgery and stuff like that is tricky. But, so something went wrong when I did that. And, yeah, that's that. I didn't find out that the retina was detached until the stitches came out because your eye has to stay stitched shut for 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
So I had to stitch shut for 2 weeks. And then, then I opened it. I took the stitches out myself. And when I opened it, I was like, holy shit, I can't move my eye. Like, what's going on? And I called the doctor and he was like, you need to get back here right away.
The one thing I've noticed too with it, because, you know, we've hung out a number of times since it's happened. The one thing I've noticed is, there's at least in my eyes or in my opinion, there's a contrast between how other people see you with this new injury and how you see it on yourself. And when you take those shades off, a lot of us see Jeff Wittek and the eye is, you know, a little bit not as open as normal, whatever yeah, the little yeah. changes are.
Yeah.
But for you,
go ahead, low blow me. Go ahead.
No, that's not what I'm going the opposite direction.
Go ahead, Mike. Insult a disabled person, Mike. Cancel him. Get in here. Get fucking cancel this guy. Be number one co-host.
You're right. But it's okay. They all hate him in the comments section.
No.
He bullies me too, so don't worry about it.
How do you, that difference between how others see it and how you see it, how do you deal with that idea that maybe you are looking at it a little bit more tactically?
Well, it's my vision that I is fucked up. I have double vision. So like, that's what, like.
So you actually see it differently than other people
yeah.
see it. Got it.
Yeah.
What do you mean you have double vision?
Like if I look over at you guys from here, there's four people here.
Well, there actually are. There's four of us over here. Right now,
there are four people on this set, Jeff.
No, on this side.
On this side.
Yes. Oh.
On this side. Yeah. No. Now, but from this angle, like if I look with this eye, I see just one George.
So I'm talking. Got it.
This is.
I did take a little acid before I came here too, so please don't tell me things like that.
Good. I don't want to downplay the significance of the injury, but why did the potential of losing one eye seem like the end of the world, or your world anyways, as it was?
I just felt like at the time, you know, I don't know. I think of myself as like a comedian or comedic content creator, internet personality. And I just didn't think I could be funny when people are looking at me and the first thing they felt was a sympathy. You know, I feel bad for this guy. Like it just didn't match with me at the time in my head. These were my thoughts. Okay. Now I've changed, you know, it's definitely, I have a different outlook on everything, but things take time. I was in a dark spot for a while and I'm not somebody to come on and like, just be fake. And like, I tried to keep my channel going. Like even with you and your episode, like I had to write a lot of jokes. I spent a long time writing those jokes.
Oh, they were some great jokes, Jeff. One of them got over 10 million views as a short on YouTube.
Yeah.
Of you asking me if I like, wait, what do I think that my girlfriend gets railed on camera?
I mean, it was the only question that people really wanted to know how you felt about it. And I was like, you know what? I can't say this because it's such an aggressive question. I don't want to start off the interview like that. So let me have one of the guys give it to me off a cue card. And then I'm just like, I didn't write this.
But it also wasn't how you started off the episode, because when you leaned over to start the episode, you dropped a heroin syringe next to
I do
to
that on everyone, though. That's not just that. Nothing to do with you and your past.
But listen, here's the deal. That is my type of humor. That's my type. Like, no holds barred. Like, go a little bit too far type stuff. And I think because you have such a firm grasp on that dark humor, you, in your darkness, after this accident, you found that the way out was to move right back to your comfort zone of self-deprecation. Mm-hmm. And you started talking about I'm missing an eye. And then you have a pirate patch on because you're a pirate one day.
Yeah.
Like, is that one of the things that's helped you move through it? Just turning it into another weapon in your arsenal of humor?
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, you're good, man. I used to think you were just a fucking clout chaser and you just hung out around here for money. But you're smart. You know, that's absolutely
Hold on. He's still both of those first two things.
But also smart.
But most importantly.
No, 100%. I mean, one of my favorite movies in like recent history is The Joker, because his life was hell. He had it the worst, like the recent one, the Todd Phillips one.
Yep.
And until he started looking at everything like it was a joke, you know, then like, you know, shit popped off. He fucking raised hell. And that's like where I'm at now. Like, not saying that I'm going to raise hell and fucking do something insane and hurt people, but like, I just look at everything as it's a joke. And I always have. I just saw like, oh shit, he does this too, you know? But also during the day, I'm like, you know, a good person. And I try to help people fight crime at night.
Right.
I'm a vigilante.
Yeah.
Go out and do that.
Have you noticed your confidence being affected at all by this with the women specifically? Because you're Jeff, you're the ladies' man.
No, I'm celibate, completely sober.
Same.
Well,
no,
do you have
same.
A choice now?
What do you mean? Oh, the eye doesn't bother girls, but I've been in such a dark place mentally that I don't want to bring a girl into this version of me. So I think I'll wait until I start dating again. You know, I don't want to, like, I don't know. I am 31 years old now. I should be probably starting looking to have a kid soon or, like, actually have a serious relationship. You know the deal.
No, I don't, actually. I got flyouts coming in from Costa Rica. I don't know the fucking deal, dog. Let me tell you this much. 36 is the new 18.
Yeah, right. I agree.
I'm serious with you, bro. You do whatever. Do whatever you want to fucking do.
I gotta I gotta have a kid soon, man.
If you want to, but like you said to yourself, dude. Like, if you look at life through the lens of fun, humor, comedy, because, bro, like, that's the thing. You said to yourself, you could, or you know, had the sentiment of it at least. You could do all these things to set up your life perfectly, and all of a sudden, some card gets pulled, and you're back at square one again. AMC fucking dips, or you hit a metal steel fucking beam with your noggin. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, I don't know. I guess I look at life through that lens all the time. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Say it with us,
Blue Chew.
Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. Process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com. Consult one of their licensed medical providers. And once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. Here's a special deal for our listeners. Try BlueChew free when you use our promo code Logan at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code Logan to receive your first month free. And we thank BlueChew for sponsoring the podcast. Now,
back to the program.
I always have looked at life as a big joke. My life is a comedy movie, and you know, I'm just releasing piece by piece of it on my YouTube channel. But like, some of it is curated. We'll plan it. We'll plan some stuff and mix it in with some real shit. And it's hard to decipher what's real and what's not. But I mean, fuck it. People lie to me every day. That's it. Get used to it. That's how this town works.
Why'd you look at me when you said that?
When I first met you, George, like we met at the bottom. Like we were at, you know, we had no.
I have a really funny story of, I remember, we could cut it if you don't want to talk about it. I came out of Trader Joe's and you were literally beating the fuck out of some dude.
Yeah, cut that story.
We'll just bleep it out. We'll bleep it out because that's funny. That's a great response.
Wait, hold on. Wait, surely the guy was trying to take some old lady's purse, right? And Jeff was a vigilante that he mentioned.
I mean, I don't give a fuck. I'll tell the story, whatever. It's there was this kid that, when I lived in 1600 Vine, I was there. That was my trap house. I moved there before any Viners lived there. And I was just buying weed and mailing it back to New York. That was like, you know, weed's fucking legal now. It's decriminalized. It's harmless. I wasn't killing people. You know, I was just fucking trying to make a little money for my old barbershops. And I always wanted to, like, somewhat in the back of my mind, I always saw, like, I always loved movies and I always wanted to act. And I met this kid. That building was more like an actor building at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like aspiring actors living there, going to acting classes. So this kid took me to an acting class, and he, I guess, like, I went to one stupid acting class. It was like a group acting class. You had to get up and just embarrass yourself. And I learned nothing from it but that. But just getting up and embarrassing yourself is fine, whatever. And like 6 months later, I blew up on Vine. And that kid was on drugs outside. And he was like, the story was so long ago. So he was all fucked up outside. And he was like, I walk over to him. I'm like, yo, what's up, man? Like, are you all right? Because he looked like out of it. And he was like, leave before I embarrass you or something. Like, he was like, you don't feel like you owe me anything? Like, literally said this to me. You don't feel like you owe me anything? And I was like, whoa. Like, I got fucking Saint Laurent boots on. Like, I'm all slippery on Hollywood Boulevard. So I was like, give me a second. Like, I'm with my girl. Like, let me, like, I'll come back and talk to you. So I went upstairs and I put on, like, basketball shorts and running shoes. And I came down and I was like, yo, what's up? So what did you want to talk about? And he flung a kombucha bottle at me, face.
Those are hard. Those are glass.
Fucking full kombucha bottle. Ooh. And it rocked me. And I just saw red. And like, it was in a Trader Joe's bag. So he just flung the whole bag at me like instantly, right when I started walking over. And I went up to block it, but just the kombucha came in. I thought it was like a bunch of bananas in the bag or something. You know, like I could just go like that and block the bag. But the fucking thing rocked me. So then I just went over and I pummeled him. And I guess George was just walking out of Trader Joe's probably with bananas.
With his Bible.
Yo, I'm not kidding, dude. I'm not like you have no, because a lot of people are talk out here. Me and Logan talk about this all the time. When it comes down to squaring up, people ain't about it.
No, we realized that with Jeff when he FaceTimed us. Mike and I were like, oh, yo, this is not like, we don't, this ain't the dude.
Well, I told him, I was like, yo, he's from New York. Like he probably has fought a lot in his life. Like everybody gets in street fights out there. Like all your whole life.
I'm sure I've fought a million times. I've lost fights. I've taken hard beatings.
But you will fight. And when we talked to you, I remember we FaceTimed you in the kitchen and you were playing it very cool. Logan was still in a stage where he was like not feeling so great about it. So he was like I would mute it and he'd be like, nah, fuck that shit. Like, and it was turning into that thing. And I went to him, I'm like, listen, like, here's the deal, Logan. You're my best friend. You really are. I love you. You put me on the map in the city. Like, you've done a lot for me. You want to go to war with Wittek and whoever he's got with him? I'm here. Let's go fucking knock on some doors, see what happens. But as your big brother and advisor, I say we walk away from this one and just let it die, which is what ended up happening, which I'm happy happened because now we didn't have to go back into the system.
Well, because there's also like felonies. There's also like three of you, right? Like you have friends who also don't give a fuck, who will ride or die motherfuckers. Not
in LA though.
Besides that, like our problem wasn't even anything. Like it was a misunderstanding.
Yeah, so
like at the end of the day, like morally, I feel like I'm a good person and I'll always try to do the right thing. And I felt like we didn't have to have this.
Yeah.
Between
that's
us.
What you were saying. Yeah. And that's what you're saying.
Yeah. So I was like, first of all, like, let's get to the bottom of what you're mad about. Mm. And then if we want to have problems, like we can, but I'm just letting you know that I don't care about jail. I don't care about getting beat up. And you know, this is going to end really bad for the both of us.
For all of us.
That's what he said.
What he said. And I was like, when I hear that, I'm like, if he had said go, I'm like, fuck it. This is going to be fun. Like, let's go do this.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want a felony.
Yeah. No, I don't care. I have a bunch already. And I'm just saying like, it's either Logan, I come here or I go to Warwick to find you or something. And you end up beating the shit out of me.
By the way, I'll be there.
And I'm in the hospital and then you're in jail or vice versa.
Yeah.
It's just, that's how it's going to play out. And it's over something so stupid. Why not just talk about it? Like if you go back to the Biggie and Tupac beef, that was a misunderstanding too. And they got killed over that.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just got to talk about stuff.
That's
you know?
That's crazy.
I'm happy we did.
That's too. Wild. Yeah, that's the first time you saw Jeff.
Beating asses, taking names.
It definitely was an experience.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I remember I had my girlfriend wait upstairs at the time, my ex-girlfriend, and I came back upstairs with blood all over my shirt and a fucking giant welt from this kombucha bottle. And she was like, what the fuck did you just do? And then I just showered up and we went out to dinner.
They went back
I
to work.
I put the Saint Laurent boots back
hair,
on.
Dude. Yeah, I've known you for a while as well. Like a while, a long ass time.
Yeah, you asked me one time to use my place for a vine with Nerf.
Oh, the dog.
Nerfy.
This was 7 years ago, probably.
That's crazy. Yeah, we go way back. And you started cutting Jake's hair, right? Or
I started cutting Jake's hair, yeah.
Gotcha. You guys cool now?
I mean, yeah, I have no problem with anybody. At this point, I got my own problems to deal with, you know? I'm not worried about fucking... And I'm not looking to get in the ring anytime soon with any of you guys, especially how I see how much work you've been putting in.
Well, now it's just...
And I got a fucking... My eye will pop out. Yeah.
You could go... We could fuck around. I can't do the ring. Because the ring has... The ring has rules. That's the one thing that I was never able to get on board with. They're like, yo, you can't do this, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like if I get in a fight, I like to be able to use any possible fucking object, weapon.
Same,
I mean, he's seen like when shit pops off, he'll look in my hand and there's might be a brick in my hand. Like I'll look as soon as something like it happened at that college party we were at that time.
Yeah. I looked down, things were getting pretty tight
There was a lot of people, a lot of uncertainty.
Like what was going to happen? I ended up getting my hat stolen.
Oh, the girl spit on you?
Yeah, right before that.
Shit was getting real serious and we were like heavily outnumbered. I'm like, oh boy, where's my big bro? And I turn, this dude's got a fucking brick in his hand. I'm like, oh, whoa, we got
to
get the fuck
out of here. Comes down to groups like that, dude, like I'm going to protect myself however I have to. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck, dude.
100%. Yeah. And luckily I grew up with a good crew that I just flew home and I met with, and it felt so good just to meet with like normal people. You know, not saying you guys aren't normal, but like, you know, this town, people get a little caught up in this stuff.
The homies. Where was it Staten Island, right?
Yeah, Staten Island. So I saw my family. It was the first time seeing my parents since the start of the pandemic. They don't really care too much about shit. My dad's a little paranoid with like people being sick and stuff and catching stuff. He's always been like that ever since I was a kid, like driving me to school.
Hypochondriac type
shit. If I fucking coughed in the car, he'd tell me to get out and take the bus.
Oh no.
This is when I was like 7.
So
has
he been
even
flipping about the pandemic?
No, he got vaccinated. They got their vaccines. So they were like, okay, it's cool. You can come home. And that was the first time. It was nice. Like I never thought I'd like miss my parents that much. I was always like trying to get the fuck away.
Right.
But it was cool to see, like just talk to them in person and my whole family and stuff. It was nice.
Did you ever see your life going the way that it has growing up? Did you have a plan or things just kind of fell into place or out of place? Whichever one you think.
I never the whole hustle and shit like was just temporary. That was like a stepping stone. Like cutting hair was to get me to meeting people, and that was just to maintain relationships, and then that made it easy for me to make connections. And
but was that
weed.
was that the goal? Like I guess
no,
I'm asking
no,
like
no,
what
the goal that I looked at, like my mentors, like the guys that owned barbershops back home that I worked at, like that I grew up at. I started cutting hair at 15 and I saw them just busting their asses in the barbershop. And I was like, I love cutting hair. It's fun. It's like a trade. It's creative. I get to, you know, have fun with it, but I can't see myself like fucking in a barbershop breaking my back for 14 hours a day and worrying about other barbers. Like that's the height, is like you get to own a barbershop and then you have all this responsibility. I always thought of myself as more of like I wanted to, I don't know, fucking make movies and shit.
You saw more for yourself. Do
something creative. I wanted to at least try, take a risk, take a shot at it, you know? And I got a little caught up in like everything else I was doing because it was fast money. But I think everything happens for a reason. And I was put in that building with all you fucking Viners.
I know.
And you guys like just kind of like Mike's situation. Like I don't even know how you guys met, but I feel like you just met him. And he came off like a real guy and you were like, okay, I want to keep this guy close to me.
Yep. So is that what happened with you and David?
That's what happened with me and Rudy at first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And I was really close with Rudy. And then our girlfriends at the time were on the same show.
Yep. Yep.
So it was like a nice little click that we had. But I ended up splitting with my ex, and him and Maya are still together. So it was just like,
you know, they met at this random house party that I had. I think because your girl brought her friend Maya, and Rudy and Maya met in my house.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I'm proud. I've been
legendary.
What a small fucking world.
Matchmaking,
huh?
For some time now. Yeah. Okay, so that sucks though that you guys broke up.
No, it's cool. Everything happens for a reason, so it's fine. That happened, and then at that time I was going through like a little post breakup depression, and so was Todd with Corinna. So I met Todd. And Todd was like, I was like, holy shit, this guy's just like me. He's fucking, you know, like likes to work out. He likes to do like run and do running. And we just started like hiking and venting to each other about our breakups. And then we started hanging out. And then David came along one time and he like got wind of my criminal past. And he was like, oh fuck, this is so interesting. Like, and he just started filming everything I did. And yeah, you know, like, I guess that's how like the vlog stuff started. But
what's that relationship like now with David? Yeah. You guys still cool or talking or?
Yeah, I don't know. We're cool. Of course.
I think everyone's wondering like,
yeah, that's where I was going with it.
The entire vlog squad. Cause COVID put a bit of a stick in the spokes, I think.
Yeah.
Because of the gathering.
I always kind of did my own thing. You know, I came in late. Like I wasn't like an original vlog squad member. I like David had curated that whole crew before I even was around. I kind of just popped in at the end, but Yeah, I took Jonah with me, and Jonah was my sidekick on the barbershop show.
Yo, he's great.
Hilarious.
I love that.
You put
kid.
Him in a box while I was there inside a soundproof.
Airproof. Oh yeah, that's box. Right. Yeah, because he doesn't know when to stop talking. He keeps cutting me off. You know what I'm talking about.
Hey, you made that joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't he try out for SNL?
Yeah, I think he failed at that one. But
that
you know,
surprises
it's tough,
me.
It's
that,
a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah, that surprises me. You guys are such a great group. Like, yeah, I wish I had friends like as good
dude,
as
you do, man. Look at this. Everybody's so happy here. This guy pans the camera. Look at that. I would have to verbally assault my cameraman to tell him to move the camera.
No, I'm joking. I love my people, but
everybody's so happy.
Yeah, there's a lot of smiling here. There's a lot of smiling. But yeah, when you guys did that roast, was it the roast of it was Jason?
Jason Nash, yeah.
That was so fun. I love when you guys get together as a group and
oh rendezvous. Damn, thank you, man.
Yeah.
We should do you.
There's a lot of meat on that bone. There's a lot of meat on that bone. But I'm not part of the vlog squad, so I don't know if it'd work. I mean,
technically, am I even? You know,
you're way more than me.
I mean, you've been in vlog squad videos. I see you doing collaborations. That was nice of you to be in Todd's video that you did the cameo.
Oh yeah. Whenever.
I ask you to do stuff and like, can we get you on the barbershop one of these days? I'll trim up that mullet.
It needs that to be.
You should do that. You should do that. He like.
I mean, I
I'm
you don't ju- have.
I'm gonna get. More roastable.
I low blowed the shit out of Mike because I was like, who is this guy? Logan Paul's friend. Yes. I gotta go hard on him. You know, if I bring on you, I'll be respectful to the big stars. I'm very respectful.
No, you will not.
Yeah, so look at what he did to Casey Neistat. I went on and I just fucking.
It's Casey Neistat, dude.
Bro, I fucking massaged him the whole time. He does.
He also asked me like. He before I came on, like I was aware that you were gonna go nuts because you were like, also the reason I'm doing this, man, is because you like me don't give a fuck, yeah, you don't care whatsoever about anything, yeah,
anyway.
At all. It's a what is this?
We're
what
on
is
a fucking
this?
Spinning rock that's in the universe with a fucking a flaming ball that's just close enough to keep us alive. And if it flies off, we're all fucking we freeze up and die. So what does it matter if I make a joke about your girlfriend getting railed on camera? You know this, bro. You know this stuff.
Of course.
And you could do it back to me. You did it back to me. You fucking checked me back more than anybody ever on that show.
It was great.
It was doing so good, but it got age restricted immediately.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, YouTube's been on my ass.
I know that.
Yeah.
Is the whole goal of the show to like punk the person who's getting their haircut?
No. The whole goal of the show is to have to show the person in a tenser environment. Like I'm sure here, this is a tense environment. You have these bright lights. You have a whole crew filming. You guys are very aggressive.
I mean,
Mike
sort of.
Stuff.
He goes, Mike.
Look at Kevin, dude.
Well, that show is designed. Well, I have cameramen, like literally like everybody's holding a camera.
A lot. Like, yo, he's got like a full production squad. So like there will be like 5-6 cameras. You're fully lob mic'd up.
You're good.
It's the real deal. And the thing that fucked with me on it was I always, before I go on a big show, I try to watch a few episodes before and see how people act. Right.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the majority of people stayed themselves through the show.
That's
but when I went on it, I was like, I also kind of want to play into some of this because it's going to elevate it to another level. So when you made the signs up, I hopped out of the chair, flipped out on you.
Yeah.
And what happened was people were like, oh, that's his real reaction. And it turned into this amazing clip that spread like wildfire.
Yeah. No, that was perfect. You killed it. And that gave a whole different aspect to the show that like I'm still learning it, you know?
Yeah.
I just got into making videos technically a couple of years ago. And I just did the barbershop thing because I knew it. You know, I cut hair my whole life.
It was a great concept.
When
the very first video you put out, I was like, this is a sick format. I hope he keeps this up.
Thanks.
When you got Cody Ko on.
Yeah. Screwed up a little.
Why?
Because.
What happened? Because didn't you tell Jake he was going to be there? Wasn't that like a setup?
So when I had Cody Ko on, I do like Cody Ko. I think he's very funny.
Yep.
And, I just thought like at the time I was new to YouTube and I was watching those commentary videos where you just roast people from home and like where I'm from, like if you're talking shit about somebody, you're going to bump into them and you know, eventually somebody's going to either crack your fucking head open or whatever, you know? So I was just like curious what Cody would do if he bumped into like somebody that he was roasting, because his jokes were funny. He roasts the fuck out of people, but it's like they're not your friends to roast. Like
right.
when we did the roast, we're roasting our friends, and we all like agreed like we're gonna make some dark jokes, but you know, like we're all friends here at the end of the day. So when Cody did those videos, it was like kind of like, I mean, I didn't watch all of them. I should have did more research, but some of them, maybe the first ones I clicked on, were a little mean spirited. And not, don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here saying Cody's completely wrong. Like, you guys are angels, because you guys deserve some of the stuff that you were getting
all of it
for.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see how he would react in an environment where he bumped into one of these guys. So basically, like, I was prepared for like, if Jake did do something, try something, like I had guys there. That's why I had the whole crew there. Normally it's just one-on-one, but like, just to like break it up, you know, cause I don't want to set anybody up to get there, to actually get beat down. You know, I don't think Cody would want to like even fight. I think he would just avoid confrontation completely. Sure. And Jake was literally, we had the security guard be like, who's this guy downstairs shadow boxing in the garage? And I'm like, I didn't know this, because I'm doing the episode and I'm trying to orchestrate this stuff and when like text and like joke around and be funny with Cody and do a haircut. And I have all this shit going through my head. So when he finally, like when we finally get to the question, when I'm like, who's your favorite YouTuber? Okay, let me backtrack a little bit, because initially it was supposed to be Lele Pons, because he was going very hard on Lele at the time and the videos were very funny, but I knew that Lele was like, she was very upset about it, you know, like it was really getting to her, because nobody was really had dug into her. Like, her life was just up, and then like the Cody video started, and then she started getting like a lot of like comments and stuff like that, which, whatever, you want to be a comedian, you sign up to make internet comedy videos, you're in this game, you need to be able to take jokes.
Absolutely.
Too. That's what the whole show is about. My barbershop show is like, you want to make funny videos, you're technically a comedian, so you need to
take
like
them.
Dish them and take them. Yeah. So I was gonna have Lele show up last minute. Her management pulled the plug. They were like, no, she's not going anywhere near that guy. I texted Jake. I was like, Jake, it'll be funny if you pop out. And like, Jake took it as like, oh, this is a great opportunity for me to make a anti-cyberbullying campaign. And I'm like, well, fuck, bro. You know, like, let's communicate a little bit. Like, we're not on the same page, because I want to make a funny bit out of it. Like, just maybe like he pops up and Cody's like scared for a sec.
Yeah.
And then like we all joke around and laugh about it, and like the fucking jokes stop. You know, like Cody maybe like could ease up on Jake, or maybe make a joke out of that situation. But instead it was like, no, fuck you. You cyber bully kids. Don't shake my hand. Like, Jake came in aggressive.
Very tense. Like, very tense.
Bro, do it again. Like, can you just please come back in again nicer? Like, come in again. And don't put me in this spot, because now I look like a piece of shit.
A setup artist.
Yeah, setup artist, which is the worst. Like, I look like a fucking two-faced motherfucker. And I would never be trusted again. Like, you know. But... yeah, that was a fuck up for me that I still regret to this day. Oh. I'm trying to make amends with Cody Ko, but I'm doing the rounds. I'm making amends with
you. He hasn't forgiven you?
He has, but I think the internet, like the drama channels and shit, like a lot of people had their opinion on it, and they kind of drove people to cancel me and make it look like what I did was so horrible.
Oh, interesting.
And then that got in his head and he was like, you know what? Yeah, Jeff did kind of fuck me over, because we hiked after. We went, like, Cody and I went for a run together after, just me and him. Like, we were having a great time and we were laughing about the whole situation. And Cody initially didn't give a fuck. And I think he was influenced to actually like have some resentment towards me after that by the internet. And recently I don't know if I want to keep this a secret, but recently he reached out and he said he would be down to do a redo and make amends.
You should. And okay, also, like,
cool.
Watching from the outside, like, his style of video and his formatting and his comedy has evolved and grown so much over the past couple years. And, like, maybe that was a catalyst for him to stop. But because honestly, like,
I got 1 million subscribers from it. Cody got 3 million. Literally that from everyone talking
right.
about it. We both got a lot of attention from it. I got more of the negative attention, but for all of us, like, whatever shit happens, like, we need to kind of, you know, think outside the box here. If I just did a regular talk show, like literally everyone else, you know,
but I also like the idea of there being one or two, or, you know, if you want to throw other people like Banks or whoever into the mix, of people keeping this industry rooted in the fact that, like, I'm gonna see you somewhere, dog. Like, don't, like, yo, Pete, like you said, troll your friends that you have permission to troll, roast your homies. But like this like new world of like it being okay to go after people with the expectation that you're never gonna run into that motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's not something that like I'm cool with. I'm not cool with that. Like there are people who have said shit about me that I'm still very interested in running into and seeing what that energy looks like.
Yeah.
Very fucking interested, bro. Because like that idea that you could just go and just, by the way, because I don't do that shit. I don't go off on fucking people and say terrible
I do
shit.
But I do it in person.
But also you do it to
that's true. That's so true.
That's very true. But also you do it to people that are like willing and on board and all that shit. Like there are people out there who, yo, quite honestly, to almost back Jake on it, and I'm not saying that Cody was doing it at the time, but there are people on the internet who are fucking bullying. Who are bullying hardcore over and over and over and over again certain people. And if we are supposed to be a society of people who are now standing up to bullies, like what's the first thing you're going to teach your kid, Jeff? If someone teaches him a one-two. That's it. That's it. Like, yo, like, and by the way, to protect yourself, like if it gets physical, but at the same time, like, yo, like, I hate the idea of letting people just fucking attack someone over and over and over again without the idea that, yo, there may be a repercussion for this someday.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's just how I think about
it. Well, maybe like, we're doing the Lord's work here, you know?
God's work.
Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought it would be us?
Not me. This episode is brought to you by Unleashed with the Dingo and Danny, a new podcast fueled by Monster Energy. This summer, professional skateboarder Nyjah Houston, shout out Nyjah, we love you Nyjah, will represent the U.S. in Tokyo for skateboarding Olympics debut. But for Nyjah, the real skateboarding happens in the streets, pulling out videos, shredding with your friends, being a thrasher. That's what it's all about. Plus, he keeps a voodoo doll on his nightstand as a talisman, superstition, or secret keys to success. Hear for yourself by tuning into episode one of the podcast as Nyjah breaks down raw street skating and living the life of the world's most winning street skater. Hosted by sports personality, the Dingo and professional snowboarder Danny Cass, Unleashed is the alternative sports podcast you've been waiting for. Brought to you by Monster Energy. Back to the program.
I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think like it's you should have like free reign to just fucking...
Yes and no. So no, because obviously no, bullying sucks and it sucks to be on the receiving end of it.
Yeah.
I also think it depends who it is and what the situation is.
Yeah, yeah.
Accountability is big on both ends. Yeah. Accountability on the end of the perceived bully saying, oh, this is like, maybe I did go a little too hard here. And what was my intent? Was my intent to embarrass this person? Was my intent to offend them? Was my intent to make light of a situation that maybe they took themselves too seriously? We've seen like just, you know, some of these cyber bullies making fun of like TikTok stars who are a little cringe or some videos come off.
Banter.
Yeah. Which feels different. Which again, having been on the receiving end of that, I can go, you know what?
That's funny.
You're right. That's fucking funny. Like I'll take the note and try not to be as cringe next time. On the other end, that's probably it. Actually, there's only one end.
I guess with the final, but to that point, I guess the question just becomes like, at what point does it go from banter or even criticism, which is fine, to targeted attack after attack? Because one time, two times, and people are like, that's funny. But when it becomes a episodic journey that is just attack after attack on someone's character, at some point you have to ask yourself like, yo, like, is this something you would want to link up and talk about in person?
Yeah, why did the baby call JoJo Siwa a bitch?
All right, I don't like, understand this
is,
that that's, part
like,
at
is that cyberbullying?
I don't know. And honestly, this episode might come out a month from now, so that might be completely, you know.
No, they'll never forget. I'm working out in the gym. The baby song comes on. He goes, "You a bitch, JoJo Siwa." I'm like, "What the fuck?"
He's saying that his daughter loves JoJo.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
I don't know anything about this. I apologize. I tried to stay off the news, so I said nothing topical that would be like outdated by the time
this
came out. Because I know it's not.
It's probably smart. That seems like it's etched forever in hip hop history.
Yeah.
When the baby called JoJo Siwa, bitch, JoJo Siwa.
Wait, so he just did it for no reason?
No one knows.
No one knows.
But then he put out this song, or right around the same time as that song, Masterpiece, which in my eyes is a great DaBaby song. So I kind of forgot about the JoJo Siwa shit.
But also, I feel like the baby, I feel like the baby's just kind of here to have a good time, fuck around, be a troll sometimes, make it like he doesn't take himself too seriously, which is the other thing. So I don't know. Like I know JoJo can handle it. JoJo's been through the fucking mud. Like she's been on the receiving end of everything, right? And she's literally grown up online listening to what other people think of her, which is crazy. Woman's probably made of steel at this point.
Yeah.
And the baby, like him, I don't fuck. Like JoJo, she was taller than the baby. Like at what point? And yeah. He's the baby. You know, we're all just having fun here. You a bitch, JoJo Siwa. Like, what?
Bitch, she said it twice. You didn't see that?
No, man. Oh, I love JoJo. I've been off social media. Sorry, I wish I could get in on this.
Nah.
Do you spend a lot of time off, so, like, kind of not scrolling?
Well,
or
lately
like...
I've been trying not to, because especially when you're not posting, there's no reason to look at it. It's kind of just, like, depressing, you know?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, I took a little break. I didn't look at it at all. I set timers on my phone. Like, when I have to post a brand deal, I would literally set, like, I give myself 15 minutes on Instagram to get my stories uploaded. And then you could do that in your settings. So like for each app, I give myself 10 minutes on Twitter, 15 minutes on Instagram, and like TikTok. Maybe I give you 20 for TikTok.
You like TikTok?
Yeah.
Because of the curated for you content. Like it knows what to serve you.
Yeah.
So then what are you doing your time these days?
That's what I was
going to I've been working on a lot of stuff. And again, I don't know when this will come out, but I'm doing my own podcast. I'm going to do a solo one. You guys want to see a video? I made a video for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. More videos, more exclusives.
Airdrop them over.
Solos are tough.
But also I thought they were near impossible for myself at least. Right. And you saw
MacBook Pro.
You saw Tim Dillon's pop up crushing it. Right. He sometimes has somebody there with him, but then I got on Twitch stream and started ranting on topics and realized that maybe it's not impossible.
My
bad. Oh, yeah. You will pretty much do it already.
Yeah. Like you do it on Twitch. I do it on the Twitch stream and I'll talk and...
It says waiting.
Maybe do iPhone 3. Oh, I got it. Hold on. Here we go. Yeah. You do it pretty much.
Maybe you got to flip it sideways. I don't know.
Here we go. Pulling the clip up. Oh God, I have to.
I want to show you guys.
Is that a Maverick bowl?
I'm gonna have to rotate it.
Rotate it. Yeah, sorry.
How?
Fuck.
Just play it sideways.
I don't know, bro. We're boomers now.
Fuck.
Yeah. Hold on. Just play it without the sound, because
no,
I don't know.
No, I got this.
Watch it with.
Flip. Rotate left.
There you go.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Just watch it without the sound, because
without the sound.
I mean.
All right. What are we watching again?
The studio?
You can put the sound on. I'm just kidding, just for a joke.
Okay. It's
that I'm working on. Oh. Here. Check this out. See, it's got a little 70s vibe.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I like that fucking race car bed. Fucking
goddamn
bullshit you guys got. You see this?
I didn't want you guys to hear this part. I was supposed to play with the sound off. That's where my producers sit.
This is Jeff's humor, Logan.
He's going back and forth.
No, he's doing that to fuck with you, and you don't.
I feel fucked with. I don't know. It looks great.
This is when I thought your set still looked like a race car bed. I used to say that it was too like.
Oh,
I love the new set. I love it.
Thank you. It did look like a race car bed. This set looks nice, man.
Jeff FM, it's 3 F's in a row. It's so dumb. It sounds terrible, but that's how I like to keep my shit low budget and shitty. And yeah, there you go. The Joker. Everything's a big fucking joke, so it doesn't matter. You know?
And so you don't plan on going on a murderous rampage, just to be clear?
You're not going to kill a late-night TV host?
No. I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to do... This was my realization that I need to do good. I need to spread good. I need to use my experiences in life to help people. I'm like reborn.
Yeah.
You know?
I can
see
it.
No more bullshit. No, like... I mean, this is it. Just getting to detail now.
He's like, you can turn it off.
That's my plant that I gave the mohawk to. I've been planting a lot of plants in my free time. If that's what you did ask that question.
Yeah,
a lot of cacti there. I saw a cacti in the back of a small pickup truck.
You fuck with succulents.
Oh yeah, succulents.
You have to.
I'm going all out. I got a whole bunch of palm trees. I don't even know the names of these things. I walk in and the plant people, like, they're kind of smug. And they'll look at you like, you know, you're a newbie. Like, you're fucking like, relax. I'm just trying to get some cactuses and stuff like that. I'm not trying to make this like my life, be a botanist or something. But it is like therapeutic to plant some plants and like work on your house, opposed to just look at Twitter all day or something like that, you know?
This is the number one sign of evolution.
I mean, bro, my fucking house is going to be a rainforest at the end of the month.
Yeah. So much botany going on in there. Where's the crib?
It's right upstairs from the barbershop.
Oh, that's right. Right. I was going to parlay into, do you ever think about moving back to the East Coast?
No.
Nah.
No, I was just there for a day and it was enough.
You went back to your old high school.
I went back to my old high school. I got immediately thrown out. I went back.
Why?
Well, if I'm going to go back there, like I got in trouble so much at that school. If I went back now and I acted like, you know, like when David goes back to his school, everyone praises him. They're like, oh my God, you're back. You hero. Like you're the best. Mm-hmm. Give me a Tesla. You know, like for me, I was hanging on by a thread. Like I barely graduated. It was only because I gave the like teachers haircuts after school. Like,
did you really?
That's the only reason I made it out of high school. So if I was going back, I was going back to terrorize it. So I walk in and I had no mask on, and that was the first red flag. They're like, "Sir, where's your mask?" I was like, "I was like, ma'am, I have no ears. I had a hoodie on," and she was like, "What?" At first, she had to process it. And I was like, I'm exempt. I'm a Hollywood celebrity. I used to go here. I'm alumni. I'm here to meet with the dean. And she's like, sir, this is a vaccination site. You need to get out of here right now. And then I was like, is it cool if I just go to my old classroom quick? And I took off running. And she grabbed her gun. And I was like, all right, this is I've gone too far.
Wow. Can you imagine if you got plugged by the what are they called? Human resource officer, whatever they're called.
Yeah. They
that
were
would
all after
suck,
me. Yeah.
Dude.
And nobody gives a fuck there. That's the best part. Like I purposely go in there and I say I'm a Hollywood YouTube star just to because I know the reaction I'm gonna get. Like I went to this old mob deli, they got busted for all this like racketeering and like all this mafia shit, and I was filming like the documentary, and they're all like, bro, don't fucking film me, I don't want to be on camera. And I'm like, just do not film no matter what. Like, what are they gonna shoot us, you know? So we just went back and just raised hell. It was fun.
Are you still working out as frequently as you did?
That's a great question. You guys are good, man.
You were in great shape.
Can you show your abs? Would you show your abs right now?
Do you still have abs?
I've been sitting down.
Oh, God, you got a little ridge.
Do you
want to
stand? You don't want to stand up and really get a good flex in?
No, because all right, no problem. I've changed.
Well, this workout thing.
The workout thing. Yeah. I could not work out for 6 months, which was tough because I shattered the eye socket. It's surrounded by. I don't know how in detail you want me to go here, but your eye, like your organs are surrounded by like visceral fat, it's called. And I had fat atrophy because I blasted it so hard. So all the fat around my eye socket that like your eye kind of sits in, it all like dissolved, and I had to get new one put in. So that's why I have that scar there, because they took fat from here to put it in my eye.
So what you're saying is you have, as a result of the accident, you have even better abs because they took fat.
Real shit, bro. Like real shit. They fucking made me eat fried chicken, ice cream. I know this sounds like
whoa, they fattened you up.
So they had to get me fatter, and it literally like, I kept this whole thing a secret. So like, people are commenting like, oh, you fucked your eye up from plastic surgery and you're getting fat. And like, I never told anybody what I'm going through. So like, that's why another thing, like I just don't want to look at my phone. I'll keep making these videos because like, I know I have like a few devoted fans. Like I have this fandom that's fucking insane. They're like, they make sick edits. Like they're creative as fuck. And like, I don't want to let them down, but also like fuck everyone else, because everyone's making their assumptions when they don't really know what's going on. Mm. So, yeah, I can't work out, which is what I do for my mental health, because I'm sober now. So I run, I do shit like that to like get those endorphins going and like deal with my stress. Yep. So that's taken from me. And I mean, yeah, so that fucking sucked. And also like somebody who cares about their like health and fitness and diet. And I got to like take shots of olive oil and eat like peanut butter and just like healthy fats, because they say you got to feed the fat to grow the fat back in my eye. So it was just like a complete like flip of my life. And now I'm planting plants and I'm finding new shit to do. And I've been working on.
I like new Jeff.
No, he's great, dude. I liked old Jeff too, but it'll just be interesting to see how it all plays. Are you going to be able to work out again soon, or are you working out now?
I put a gym in my place. I'm just doing like pull-ups and push-ups. Like,
are you hanging out with people, or are you generally alone?
Yeah.
I don't mean that in a sad way, but
I got my crew. I got my crew that like I work with, and I have my like New York friends, like my street friends that I hang out with. And those, like, yeah, I'm good. Like I have good people around me. So
Because you know you can always hit us up. And the gym's open here if you want to work out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I would love to. I would love to. That sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah, we're pretty action-oriented, too. I don't know if you need, like, motivation in that arena. But, yeah, I think everyone who comes around here is inspired to just fucking kick ass.
Man, we're all just becoming best friends over here. I wasn't planning.
Yeah. He said he was a free agent. We'll swoop him up.
I love David. I love that whole crew. Jason is one of my favorite guys I've ever met in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's just they're on to the next chapter with the podcast, and I'm going to do a podcast. Zane and Heath have their podcast.
Yeah.
I still run with Todd every morning. You know, we do running every morning. Sure. So like that, I don't count as like a workout, and I should not be doing that because I'm burning off the fat, but fuck it. I need my mental health too. I'll have my eye be floating around a little bit. I need to like.
You do the whole circle at Runyon?
Yeah.
So we did it the other day for the first time. The shit is hard. The one side in particular is exceptionally steep.
Yeah.
And I wasn't aware at how difficult.
Are you jogging it a little?
Yeah.
Are you trying not to stop?
Yeah. I think we had to stop once.
Yeah. Okay. That's really good.
I'm in pretty good shape. I was expecting to like
Can
fuck it
up. Can you say how much you weigh right now?
I'm 195.
Oh my God. Damn. And you're ripped too.
Inclines, man. That's why we did running. Yeah. Inclines are the best.
Yeah.
Inclines are the best. I love... I like how they are on my joints and my knees. They're not as bad as running down sucks. But I go backwards and when we're going down. But
nice, you got good trainers around you, man. It sounds like you got good people. Are you?
Yeah, you know who I'm working with? Don, who I'm sure you know from way back.
Oh yeah,
dude. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, he's running with me.
He won David's car the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
I did see that. But that is a good sign when you see people in this town that have the same group of people around them for a long time. It's rare because like even George, I remember you and George met back at 1600 Vine Days. A lot of people grow apart.
But yeah, that's it. That's all we got for today. That was a great podcast, man.
Yeah, that's it?
Yeah, that's all we got. Yeah, that's it.
We do about an hour.
A little over an hour.
Hour 15. What are we at right now?
And we got to reset before the next guest. We're shooting 10 episodes this week.
Jesus.
Yeah, before training camp, we're just stacking them all.
We have one left.
So you're going to Puerto Rico?
Going to Puerto Rico for training camp. Yep. And then probably going to move down there as well. And I feel like that seclusion will be very good for me, especially under going this boxing journey I'll probably pursue for another, 3 to 5 years, maybe longer, seeing how it goes. But
yeah,
it just seems like it makes sense for me. I liked it there. I felt very me. And when I came back to LA after visiting there, I for the first time in my life, I was disappointed that I was coming to LA. Which was notable for me.
I kind of had that feeling too with some stuff. I can relate. The barbershop is over too, by the way.
What?
It's ended. We ripped it down.
What are you talking about?
The set or the show is...
It's done. It's done. The show's done temporarily. I don't know if I'll bring it back, but yeah. I had a little falling out with Jonah. I'll show you guys.
Really?
Yeah. If you guys want to wrap it up, we can wrap it up. But I was going to talk about more stuff.
Well, if you have something of major concern, let's talk about
some juice.
About it,
let's talk about some juice.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, man. The barbershop is no more. I forgot to tell you that. I left that part out.
That's
seems like a pretty
that's crazy
part to leave out of the interview, don't you think, Whittick?
Here's a picture. I'm going to airdrop it to you, Logan.
Okay. A lot of exclusives. All right, here we go. I'm getting it. It's coming in hot and it's downloaded. I'm opening it up now. Here we go. Okay, here's Jeff. Here's Jeff with a sledgehammer.
That's it?
That's the barbershop?
Well, it's ripped down. Yeah.
That was the barbershop.
Yeah, that was the barbershop. It had to get ripped down because Jonah wanted me out. He was done. And like we said, with the privacy thing, you know?
We're getting trolled.
No.
We're getting trolled.
I mean, how can I troll that? You think I ripped that down?
Whittick, I've seen what you'll go through to fucking troll some. You're fucking trolling us, bro. You figured, you know what? I've trolled these kids in the past. It almost led us to hate each other
and fight.
Gonna
work.
Now I'm going to troll them again
What do you think I'm redesigning?
You think I'm buying this?
I'm putting new bricks up?
It's not even you.
Bro, you think I'm going to put new... I'm sad because all the nostalgia is gone. But I need a change. I need a new show, and that's Jeff FM. That I'm gonna do Jeff FM now.
Can you honest for a second? Are you actually is the barbershop stopping?
I'm sick of cutting hair during interviews. This was so nice being able to just talk to you guys.
Yeah.
Having to do a haircut throughout the interview is tough.
Yeah.
And I do love the barbershop show. It's something original that I somehow accidentally created. And Casey Neistat says it's dope, but this had to end here. I will try to figure something out. I'm working on other stuff. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit.
What about Jonah?
Me and Jonah?
Yeah.
I mean, fuck him. Let him eat himself to death.
Really? Something happened?
I mean, the last time we were seen together on camera, I gave him a check for $10,000 for losing the most weight in a weight loss competition that I do a show to help people lose weight.
There's
some fat shaming jokes in the show, but you know, at the end of the day, it's to help people, motivate them. He won, but he cheated. He did a boxer's weight cut.
Oh, he did. He lost like just, it was just water weight.
Yeah,
he was sat in the sauna.
Yeah, he won the money, and then he ripped the check in half. He gave half of it away, made himself look good, and then told me to go fuck myself after.
I don't know. I swear.
On camera, he told me, I love you. And then afterwards, we talked and he said, hey, look, like,
I just
can't have all of your employees coming in my house anymore at random times in the night to shoot stuff. I need privacy. And I need you to, like, I don't care. I'll pay the whole rent. And I was like, you fuck me when I'm at rock bottom. This is what you do. You kick me when I'm down.
Now I'm going to fuck you.
I'm going to fuck you back. I'm going to go impulsive and tell everybody how much of a fucking piece of shit you are. Maybe we'll be friends by the time this comes back out. But as of now, that's where we're at. Fuck him. He's dead to me. Yeah.
Wow. I'm happy that you
I don't know, man.
100% true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
100% true.
All right.
Go, poor Jonah. Oh, I guess not. What was the intent with ripping the check in half and giving half of it away? Wouldn't that just void the entire...
He didn't actually give half the money away. He gave half of his avoidable check.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, the checks are fake. They're just Hollywood stuff. I don't expect you to understand this. New guy here from New York, Logan. You know?
I'm not from New York.
Yeah, whatever.
From Connecticut.
Yeah, the checks are fake. I actually pay them in cash. Afterwards, but he did give half the money, but then he did tell me to go fuck myself. And you know, while my eye was hanging out and I was at rock bottom, he fucking gave me the boot. So you know what? I wish him well. Something happens to him along the way, you know. I'm going my own way. I'm gone. I'm taking off. Maybe I'll move to Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico's hard. That's hard to spell.
You kill somebody and flee to Puerto Rico, they could still get you, right?
Yeah, it's still part of the country.
Would
you
ever consider moving into a an over 30s content house? It's a big house. A big fucking house. And there's one extra room. We need one more creator.
That'd be great.
That fits in with the right crack crowd.
No, forget it.
There is no content.
He's not actually
house.
Doing
it. Doesn't
it.
Even exist. I'm not even a person.
It's a joke.
It's a great idea. Maybe take Jonah. He would love it. He needs a place to stay too because he's getting the boot.
It'd be great, Mike.
I mean, look, I'm a fair guy. I'm a very fair guy. I think things through. I don't react like I used to, but because he fucked me, I will make his life a living hell now. So, yeah, Jonah and I are at war. Take him to your fucking content house and let him get abused in there. Let him be the punching bag over there. I don't want him anymore.
All right.
Everything I said on the show is fake. No. The shop's really done. The shop's really done.
That's so wild.
But I've been working on some stuff. I have a new business that I've always wanted to do since I was a kid, and I'm going to talk about that soon. I'll tell you off.
Okay.
Fire.
So
that's cool.
So loud.
It seems that's
on brand. I thought you were going to say that you were advising on stock picks or something like that.
If you can invest in this, but no, I am done investing in stuff.
Yeah. That's
good luck. Maybe I'll move to Puerto Rico with Logan.
That'd be cool.
Content house for me. No, I'm your privacy.
We appreciate you, Jeff. We appreciate you, Jeff Wittek.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. You guys can follow him on Instagram at Jeff.
Just Jeff. And I've been starting to beef with Jeff Bezos. I've been trying to do, you know how you guys do the fighting trolling stuff?
You're calling him out.
I'm calling him out.
He wants to handle.
No, he doesn't want it, but I'm trying to make him think he wants it.
Cool.
So I put in my bio, go fuck yourself, Jeff Bezos, you bald fuck, it's not for sale.
Hell yeah.
And that's in my bio, so yeah. You know people get notified when you get added to a bio, a verified account.
You think he saw it?
So he had to. If like Logan adds me to his bio and he's verified, I get a notification on my phone. So I'm trying to get him to be like, all right.
Is that true?
All right. Yeah, it is. It is.
That's true?
That's a good way to get people's attention.
Girls' attention and shit.
Yeah. I'm like, all right, Jeff.
Sheesh.
You know,
let's go to
Jeff
war.
Bezos, you know? Bezos. You want to give me $1 million for it? Go fuck yourself.
I could see him and Jonah teaming up.
All right. Yeah, I guess I'll take that into consideration.
Guys, thank you for watching this episode. Hit that subscribe button. We love you. Impulsive it's our show. And there's more of them coming. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.